Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play Stores.
Is it time for Liverpool to panic?
Literally everything is going wrong. There is not one part of the team right now that you could say is functioning well.
Can Arsenal wrap up the perfect week?
Look, Sunday's a tough test, but when you've just walloped Bayern Munich, I don't think Chelsea will hold any fears.
And how will the Spanish giants respond to a testing midweek?
Correa got there first. Araujo then got him. Araujo's already on a yellow card. And Barcelona are going to go down to 10 players.
Hello, I'm Ian McIntosh. This is Football Fast, No Faff. This is your ultimate weekend preview. So let's go Route 1 in association with Fitstairs. Well, we've been together, you and I, for many months now, dear listener, and I feel I can be honest with you. We were going to make Chelsea-Arsenal our game of the weekend because it's a natural choice, first versus second, conquerors of Barcelona versus conquerors of Bayern. I'd already written most of it, but I can't stop staring at Liverpool. They're away to West Ham on Sunday at 2:05, and more on that weird kickoff time in a moment. I think West Ham might be the favourites. Liverpool have now lost 9 of their last 12 games. That is their worst run since 1953. Even the worst days of Graham Souness weren't this bad. I mean, sure, there were 8 defeats in 12 after the pandemic, but that was because Liverpool lost so many defenders to long-term injury they had to play the club cat at right-back. There were 8 defeats in 11 in 1998 as the old Gerard Houllier-Roy Evans experiment went up in smoke. But this is 9! 9! And through all of this, I've stood here and said, come on, it's early, plenty of games left, don't panic, good manager, good squad, they'll be okay. And even I'm starting to doubt myself now. Lola Katz-Roberts is the host of the Goal Difference podcast. You may have seen her and her identical twin sister on Sky Sports News a lot recently. Lola, I've been adamant that Liverpool shouldn't panic, but is this now time to panic?
I am panicking. It's fair to say I'm panicking, but it's okay for me to panic because I am a fan. And what I'm seeing is completely unprecedented. It's our worst run of form since 1953. And, you know, when you look at the cold, hard facts, 9 defeats in 12 games is just an astonishing number of defeats. Literally everything is going wrong. There is not one part of the team right now that you could say is functioning well. Last night was another example of a game in which Liverpool have won the XG and failed to win the game. In fact, in our last 3 games, a combined XG of 6.59 to 5.something. And we've lost those games 10-1. On aggregate. So the failings at Liverpool are extraordinary. And I mean that literally, you know, it's out of the ordinary to see a team malfunction so spectacularly. But I will say, in a strange way, that gives me hope, because it is only for so much longer that everything can go wrong. At some point, some things will start to go right. We will start to get the rub of the green from officials. We will start to see players finding a bit of form that aren't named Dominic Szoboszlai. So I retain hope, but it's hard to be optimistic with the way things are going at the moment. And yes, Ian, I am panicking.
And you can listen to Lola on the Goal Difference podcast. There is a link in the episode description. But what makes this game really interesting is that West Ham are actually doing quite well right now. They beat Newcastle, they beat Burnley, they drew away at Bournemouth. They've scored 8 goals in their last 3 games. Benji Laniardo is a regular on the Totally Football Show. Benji, is there blood in the water? Are West Ham going to win again?
Do you know what? It would sort of make sense. I mean, it feels like over the last few games, Nuno has found his side. There's been sort of decent balance to us over the last few games, you know, none of which you can say about Liverpool. Paquetá is back from suspension. He always seems to play well against Liverpool. He was clapped off the pitch by the home fans at Anfield a few seasons ago after having an incredible game. We've got a sort of full of confidence Callum Wilson. So, yeah, things feel good right now. And I think Nuno has also realised the PR power of getting in a youngster, which, amazingly, Graham Potter kept on resisting. And in Freddie Potts, who's been really good for us 2 or 3 games in a row now. We've spoken about him on here before, actually. He's sort of gradually worked his way up the leagues with loan moves. Now seems ready for the Premier League. And sort of, dare I say it, he reminds me a little bit of an emergent Mark Noble. Sort of an all-round centre mid, very committed, good technically. So yes, I think we'll absolutely go for it versus Liverpool. And I think it's maybe even sort of 50-50. I'd like to see the odds on that. And listen, if all else fails, we've learned this week that Nuno has a fantastic go-to stress reliever that completely takes his mind off football. And that is, yep, that's the one. It's the very exhilarating, mostly personal experience of riding a horse. How about that? Isn't that lovely? Nuno's a horse rider. Anyway.
And Benji is the CEO of Pickfair. Find out more about them. There's a link in the episode description. Now, if you fancy a flutter and you're over 18, Fitstairs have West Ham at 100-30 to win on Sunday, which is about 23%. Liverpool are 8-11. You can find those odds and more at fitstairs.com, but please do gamble responsibly. All right, let's turn our attention to the top of the table where we were supposed to start, and we can ponder Arsenal. Are they now the best team in Europe? They put Bayern Munich to the sword, and discounting the Gianni Bowl in the summer, no one's done that since Internazionale in the Champions League back in April. The Gunners will be without almost everyone who can play up front, but doesn't really seem a problem right now. They look unstoppable. And Chelsea. Just imagine what Chelsea would be like if they stopped buying inside forwards and picked up a defender or two. They got the better of Barca at Stamford Bridge. They've won 9 of their last 11, and it's Estevao, kid. He looks pretty decent. Adrian Clarke knows the Gunners inside out. Clarkey, can you recall anything like this post-Invincibles?
You bang on the money, Macca. This Arsenal team are the best since the Invincibles. There's not a flicker of doubt in me saying that either. Arteta's built slowly, but he's brought in some excellent players. I think we can all see that. And just as important, he's brought in really good characters too. The squad's united. The spirit, for me, is as strong as the talent pool. They're a machine at the moment. They can win in different ways. If they have to sit in and soak up pressure and counter, Arsenal can do it. But they can go the other way and control matches and press brilliantly as well. They just have to flick that switch. There's no Gyökeres, there's no Gabriel, no Havertz, maybe no Trossard this weekend. But Arsenal still go to Stamford Bridge as overwhelming favourites. It's amazing, really. With Martinelli, Madueke and Ødegaard back, the bench is suddenly looking pretty tasty again as well. Look, Sunday's a tough test, but when you've just walloped Bayern Munich, I don't think Chelsea will hold any fears. For me, their strength is in the wide areas and in Timber and Calafuri. I think Arsenal have got two of the very best fullbacks who are more than capable of locking them down. Thinking of Rice and Zubimendi, I think they should be able to handle Caicedo and Enzo Fernandez. And then in forward areas, I really do feel that Arsenal can get at Chelsea's back four, which for me still isn't totally convincing. After all those dark days, you know, there were plenty of them. Gunners everywhere are just loving this. They really are. We can now actually say Arsenal are the best team in Europe without everyone falling over themselves laughing at us. It's probably true. I mean, there is a long way to go this season, and Arsenal are definitely not gimmies to win the Premier League, but this squad feels like it's easily the best in the Premier League at the moment, maybe with a little bit to spare. Loving it.
Adrian Clarke has his own YouTube channel entirely devoted to Arsenal analysis, and you need to check it out. The link is in the episode description. The rest of the Premier League gets underway at 3 p.m. on Saturday. There's no early game. Pick of those is Man City against Leeds, I think. It's two defeats in a row for Pep Guardiola's side, but they did play the kids and the reserves in midweek, so does that defeat to Leverkusen really count? Leeds have lost their last three games. The pressure is mounting on Daniel Farke, and I do wonder, and I'm being cynical here, but I do wonder if they're just leaving him in place for this one and Chelsea next week before giving the new guy a nice, easy start on December 6th when they have Liverpool at home. Elsewhere, Sunderland face Bournemouth in the battle of the early season surprise packages. What might surprise you is that neither of these two have won in their last three games. What may also surprise you is that Sunderland, who are so tenacious in the way they play, are actually the second lowest generators of XG in the Premier League, just 10.4 all season. Sunderland and Bournemouth have both won five games each, which is good, but it's actually only as many as Brentford further down the table, relatively unnoticed in 13th. They host second bottom Burnley at the G-Tech. Scott Parker's side only shipped 16 goals last season, an astonishing feat in a 46-game campaign. This season, they've conceded 24 already. Only Wolves and West Ham have conceded more this season. At 5:30, Everton look to build on their Old Trafford heroics and ideally stop their players from fighting each other on the pitch. They host Newcastle, whose away record is, well, it's absolutely horrendous. They've lost their last four on the road, including Wednesday's defeat in Marseille. They've only won once away all season, and that was Union Saint-Gilloise. You have to go back to April to find their last Premier League win on the road, and it was against Leicester. Does that even count? Anyway, I regret to inform you there's another Saturday 8 p.m. kickoff. It's a disgusting habit. I do hope the Premier League are able to kick it soon. Tottenham, who I thought performed admirably in Paris, face Fulham, hoping to build on last week's victory over Sunderland. Now, Spurs have the fifth highest XG against and the fourth lowest XG, and yet somehow they've spent most of the season in the upper reaches of the table. Well, they're down to ninth now after picking up just 1 point from their last three games. They do need a win here. Crystal Palace play Manchester United at 12 noon on Sunday. Now, this is to maximise the gap between Palace's European exertions and their midweek trip to Burnley. Yes, next week is the most old-fashioned but beautiful of things. It's midweek Premier League football under the lights. Now, if you will indulge me, a theoretical hot step, I think this is where United's lack of European football will start to pay off. They've had more time on the training field, more rest, they're less fatigued. United play West Ham, Wolves and Bournemouth after Palace. I reckon they win all four. Now, you might be wondering why three Sunday games kick off at 2:05, and I don't blame you, it's very odd. It is reported to be because of fears that the Palace-United game could drag on past 2 p.m. and clash with the other kickoffs, and given that we frequently see 10 minutes of injury time, I guess these fears are not entirely without reason, but I'd imagine it's also because if the game drags on and it gets even close to the other kickoffs, TV stations will have to cut their lucrative pre-kickoff ad breaks. Well, maybe I'm just being cynical. Anyway, they're good games. You wouldn't want to miss them. We've already discussed West Ham, Liverpool, but do keep an eye on Aston Villa Wolves at 2:05. Villa could potentially go second with a win, which is remarkable for a team that didn't win its first league game until September the 28th. Hat tip to Sam Tai, who was on this show several times around about then, telling people not to panic. Then there's Forest Brighton. Forest have 7 points from their last nine, but Brighton don't play European football, and I think this will be a tough one for Sean Dyche. It's been a tough week for La Liga's giants. Barcelona had their pants pulled down in front of everyone at Chelsea. Real Madrid really had to fight for their victory over Olympiacos. The Greeks were not going down easy there. Fortunately for them, the La Liga schedule was at its most accommodating. Barcelona have 14th placed Alaves at home on Saturday afternoon. Real Madrid go away to Girona. They have the late Sunday slot again. Atletico Madrid had a fantastic result in midweek, beating Inter 2-1. They get to play bottom club Oviedo at home on Saturday night, so if you are looking for shocks this weekend, do not look to Spain. Do not look to Bayern either. They'll be furious about what happened to them in North London, and I really fear for those perky left-leaning Hamburg hipsters of São Paulo. I think they're getting an absolute shoeing on Saturday afternoon.
Pick of the fixtures is the Saturday tea time clash between third place Leverkusen and fourth place Dortmund. RB Leipzig a second. They play tonight away at Borussia Mönchengladbach, who you may recall us talking about them on an earlier show and the trouble they were in. They've won their last three games and they have soared out of the relegation zone. Serie A continues to be ludicrously close, just 5 points separate the top five at present. Giampiero Gasperini's Roma are top at the moment. They faced the champions Napoli on Sunday night. Napoli are 2 points back in third. Second place Milan, who edged a narrow victory over Inter last weekend. They host Lazio. Inter themselves, they go to Pisa. And Bologna, still knocking about in fifth. They don't play until Monday night. They've got Jamie Vardy's Cremonese. And France, dear old France, there's a big one over there this weekend, 4 p.m. on Saturday, Monaco versus PSG. Monaco are not having a great season. They're down in eighth place and they've lost their last three matches. PSG at home is, it's not what they need right now, I'd wager. Barking mad, Marseille don't play until Saturday night. They have Toulouse, in that Toulouse are playing against them. I'm sure on balance they'd prefer to win. Who knew that any of us would live long enough for the Scottish Premiership to become the hipster league of choice? And yet here we are. Hearts, the Tony Bloom-infused surprise leaders, have only won one in four now. They go to fourth place Motherwell, desperate to get back on track. That's on Saturday. Martin O'Neill's Celtic play on Sunday. They're second. They may not be Martin O'Neill's Celtic for much longer. It looks like Wilfried Nancy will get the job. Who is Wilfried Nancy? Well, he's French, but he's not even well known in France. He's made his name in MLS football with Columbus Crew. He'll be watching this, I'm sure. Celtic take on Hibs, who are third. That, as I say, is on Sunday. Rangers, who are fourth and in fine form, they have Falkirk. In the Championship, Coventry are 10 points clear. They've got Charlton Athletic, who shipped five to Southampton. That's on Saturday. Could Coventry go 13 points clear? Probably not. Second place Stoke, managed by former Coventry boss Mark Robbins, of course. They are at home to Hull. And Middlesbrough, now under the command of Kim Hellberg, have Derby at home. You'd expect them both to win those games. At the bottom, poor old Sheffield Wednesday, 14 points adrift now. They host Preston. Norwich is second bottom. They picked up a point in midweek, but it was at home to Oxford. It should have been three. They play QPR. And as for Oxford themselves, third bottom, they play tonight against Ipswich. And the Tractor Boys are in excellent form. Four wins and two draws in their last six games. Expect to see them in the race for an automatic promotion place before too much longer. That's all the football for the weekend. If you're looking for football-adjacent pastimes, our book of the week this week is Joe Cole's autobiography. Now, this one surprised me. I generally prefer books about managers to books about players, but this is such a lovely read about a player who is far more unassuming than I'd imagined. It is, of course, mostly about this generational superstar talent who actually becomes more of an acclaimed supporting actor before injuries eventually take their toll. But it's also about fatherhood. The late George Cole is the undoubted star of this one. He's an extraordinary character. He can't read, he can't write, he has a couple of spells in prison. But he proves, for so many reasons, everything a young man in the spotlight needs from a father. It's such a lovely read. Ghostwriter Sam Wallace has done a great job here, and you should get it on your Christmas list right now. That was Route 1. It was Football Fast, No Faff. It will now be here twice a week, Monday morning and Friday morning. Podcasts like this do exist only with your support. So if you've enjoyed this, give us a review. It makes such a difference. And tell people about it as well. Pass on the sheer joy of football nerdery. I've been Ian McIntosh. Your producer was Helena Fremantle. We'll be back on Monday with the great big roundup. We'll see you there.